Oh, I'm sorry. Jenna, Chris, glad to see you guys. I know that's a long trip up, so good seeing you guys. Well, so, okay. Oh, hey, Uncle Frank's here. Okay, we're ready to go then. All right. Dusty hasn't been here since I thought maybe I offended her at the post office. But she forgive me, you know. That's our private little joke. And Bill, you made it through that weather. And you brought Kathy. Awesome, brother. Good. All right. You know, it is good to see all of God's children here this morning. You know, you are God's children. No matter how old you are, you're God's child. Uncle Frank. Hey, Uncle Frank. Debbie, she's still your child, isn't she? No matter how old she is, she's still your child. Chet, you're Debbie. She's still your child. Amen. Oh, favorite child. Ooh. Mel. Dean, he's still your child. Amen. See, my point is, age has nothing to do with you being a child of God. Because Uncle Frank, I think you're the senior here in all of us. And I think right behind you is Chet and then Mel. And that's the reason I use those three. Because God sure is a lot older than you are, Uncle Frank. So you're still his kid. You know that, Uncle Frank. You're still God's kid. Yeah. Chet, Mel, you're God's kid. It makes you a king's kid, does it not? And what's that entitle you to? To an inheritance. Hallelujah. One awesome inheritance, I must say. Look to Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 14 through 17. New King James Version. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. When you made the choice to follow Jesus, it came with the most fabulous benefit package there has ever been thought of, or ever has been recorded, or ever will be in existence. And when it comes to health care, see, it's not like Medicare or any other kind of health care. With our loving Abba Father on the job, we are under his plan. And it's called the HCC plan. Okay? HCC. His constant care. And it comes free of charge. And you know, you aren't going to find it on the government's website under the Affordable Care Act. No, because you get it when you become born again. That's when it's available to you. When you became born again, boom, it was yours. His constant care, where the attending physician and plan's administrator, who is always on duty 24/7, is one and the same. His name is Jehovah Rapha. Now, constant care. It means happening all the time, staying the same, not changing, always loyal, continually occurring or reoccurring, marked by firm, steadfast resolution and faithfulness. Faithfulness. He is faithful, is he not? And he is just. When you became adopted into the family of God, it came with a full and immediate benefits package. Second to none, folks. So you should want for nothing, because he has thought already of everything. Everything is in the benefit package. See, he's got it covered. He's been there. He's done that. He creates. So he knows a thing or two. His plan covers it all. And when I say all, that means everything. Everything. It's not like when you're a young person, especially one who doesn't have a whole lot, and you look at this wealthy kid and his parent, his dad, gives him everything and anything he wants. And you sit there and you say, huh, that must be nice. I wish I was in that family. Well, you know, folks, you need to realize today that you are that kid. Yeah, you are that kid. It is nice. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are already a member of the family. You already have what they have. Say, I have access to everything. Amen. You do. Because every one of you in here are born again. So you're part of the family. So when you say that, though, one thing that's more important than saying it is believing it. Believe it. Because it's true. It is true. See, the devil will try as he may. And he's going to try to tell you differently. But let me assure you, if you are born again, God's benefits, they have your name on them. They have your name on them. Now, I know your electronic devices, don't they? And that's why there's something to say about paper, right, Eleanor? We love paper trails. Anyhow, and open it up in the front of my Bible, the very first thing says, Holy Bible presented to Jack Robinson. Right? I started looking at a whole bunch of Bibles. And we got a whole bunch of Bible back here in the office. I mean, we got the Living Word. We got the Voice. We got the Message Bible. We got the Amplified. We got the Amplified Classic. And I could just go on, you know. The NIV. The NLT. Well, anyhow, every one of them says it's presented to. So whoever's Bible that is, your Bible should have your name in it. And there's some that I looked at and it said, this Bible belongs to. So guess what? That's your benefits. They got your name on them. That's what you need to do right in the front of your Bible. Put your name there because that's your benefit package. That is yours. See, we need to realize this and we need to get this down into your heart. Realize what? Realize that healing, you have it. Prosperity, you have it. Favor, grace, mercy, wisdom, name them all. Because every one of them, they have your name on them. And they belong to you. They belong to you. You know, and I'm not talking about someday belonging to you. I'm talking about right here, right now, today, belonging to you. Right now. Right now. They're yours. They belong to you. He has already crossed every T and he has dotted every I. And he wants you to know you have what he says you have. So when are you going to stop saying what you have and start saying what God says you have? Quit talking about your sickness. Talk about your healing, your health, and your wholeness in the Word of God. Because that's what he promises. My goodness. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Message Bible. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that He might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as His own children, because God sent the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying out, "Pops, Papa, Father." Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Complete access. Those two words, they say it all. Not just limited access, but complete access. Complete access to the inheritance. To your inheritance. That's what you got to get here to get it down in here. It is your inheritance. You are born again. That's your inheritance. You have the undivided attention to the Creator of the universe. Realize that. See, God doesn't just call you His son or daughter. He calls you an heir through Christ. As a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you inherit everything He has. So you need to verbalize with words so you can hear yourself saying those things. To say these words, "I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have what He has." Let's say that. "I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have what He has." One more time to make sure you understand. "I am a joint heir with Jesus. I have what He has." You see, when you say it, not just think it, see, by saying something enough times, you start to believe it. And when you start to believe it, it becomes real in your life and you start to enjoy the benefits from doing it. Paul here, in speaking to the Romans and speaking to us, he wanted us to understand where we stood with Jesus on being adopted children. Under Roman law, an adopted child was guaranteed all legal rights to his father's property, even if he was formerly a slave. He was not a second-class son. He was equal to all other sons, biological or adopted, in his father's family. Say that again. "I am a joint heir with Jesus. I have what He has." Joint heirs. And how do we know? Because we have the Word of God on the subject. And that's all we need to know. John 1:1, what's it say? It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. And I'm staying with the Message Bible. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's actions in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life means you're no longer bound. You're no longer trapped in a cubicle. Freedom. You have space to breathe now. God has given us that ability to sit down. Do you know what it's like to sit in a cubicle all day long? Man, can't wait to get out. Can't wait to start climbing on top of those vessels and getting out there in the air and climbing up to the top and saying, wow, I can see the UPMC building. Or you can climb to the top of the UPMC building and say, wow, I can see them stacks down there at the power plant. Wow. Freedom. That's what it's like. Let's continue. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. You don't like being ignored, do you? No. In fact, a lot of you, when you get ignored, I see you walk away, and then you get ticked. Now, maybe they just didn't see you. They didn't ignore you on purpose. It was accidental. Don't let your mind take you to some other place that it should not be. Your brothers and your sisters here, we love each other. I know I love you. And if you think I've ignored you, you yell out, Pastor Jack! I said, Pastor Jack! And you get my attention. I don't ignore people. Accidentally, yeah, I'll say it happens. But on purpose, I will not ignore you. And if I have ignored you in some way, forgive me. Verse 9. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing if you, in you, that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. What will he do? He will bring you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. In other words, however precious Jesus is to the Father, that's how precious you are to the Father. The way that Father loves Jesus is the same way the Father loves you. What he is willing to do for Jesus, he's willing to do for you. For this is what the Word declares, folks. That's what it declares to us today. In fact, every day, what God is willing to do for Jesus, he is willing to do for you. Don't try to wrap your head around it. That's what we try to do. We try to think about it. Oh, I wonder. Don't think about it. Believe it. Take it into your heart. What he's willing to do for Jesus, he is willing to do for you. And I don't know about you, but I like that way. In fact, I love that way. I love the way God thinks. And that's the way he wants us thinking. When we approach him for our needs to be met, just like a little child approaches their loving father and says, Daddy, can I have this? And the father says, Absolutely. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, my child. I love you. When I wrote that down and I realized something happened. Fathers, You need to tell your kids. You got to say, I love you. You need to say that. They need to hear you say that. And you know, a hug can go a long way. Men, grab them and give them a hug. Grab your son and give him a hug. You know? I didn't have that. I never experienced that. Now, was I loved by my father? Yeah. But I never heard him say those words to me. He never was one to grab you and give you a hug. Nope. And when I read that, I said, that's why I need to let you men, because it takes a man to do that. It takes a man to do that. Wrap your arms around your son or your daughter, and you say, I love you. I love you. Whatever you need, let me know. Let me know. And there's a lot of times they have a need that you can't take care of with a material item. But if you could show them that love, that compassion, and that understanding, that makes and will satisfy a lot. So how accepted are you by God today? All you have to do is look at Jesus. Is he totally accepted by God? The answer is yes. Yes, he is. So that's how accepted you are. Totally accepted by Christ. No way. Well, I'm here to say, yes way. See, it's time that we got used to God's way of thinking, not the way we think. You start letting your head start to think that I'm not lovable, I can't do this, I can't be forgiven, and on and on and on. That's not the way God thinks. No, God says, I don't think the way you think. The way I think is beyond the way you think. That's what God says. See, and the devil may try to steal from you God's word. Especially when it comes in and tells you that you're not accepted. But that's not what God's word says, is it? Or should I say, is written. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, New King James, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are accepted. New Living Translation. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. We are not only accepted, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. It's nothing you did or can do or ever will even think about doing. The only way that you are accepted is through Jesus Christ. Jesus already has done it. He's done it for you. He is your measure. He is your measure of acceptance. So how favored are you by God? Just look at Jesus Christ, who is seated at the Father's right hand. You enjoy that same favor today, because whatever he enjoys, you enjoy. Still, some have a problem with that. Yeah, they say, is that possible? Is it possible? Well, it's something that is not man-made, because that's way too good for man's way of thinking. That's God's way of thinking. He doesn't think like we think. He thinks differently. So all you got to say is praise God for that. His ways are above our ways. And that his thoughts are above our thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Back to the Message Bible. Seek God while he is here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life, and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish. Another word for lavish is extravagant with forgiveness. Verse 8. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as the rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back up until they have watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll accomplish the assignment I gave them, says the Lord. God wants you to enjoy what he has given to you. So believe it and receive it. And start enjoying the abundant life that Jesus gave us. Believe it and receive it. You know, and I'll tell you, someone who has a hard time with believing that all, he doesn't believe. He, you know, says, is it true? It's the devil. And the reason why? Because he knows for a fact that it's all true. He knows it's a fact. Do you know it's a fact? See, he's fought long and hard to keep us from realizing exactly what it is that we're entitled to. And do you know what we're entitled to? Everything. Everything. That's what we're entitled to. Everything. Dana, everything. Everything. He'll give you your heart's desire, by the way, if you want it. Because once someone truly gets a hold of it, he knows he has lost the battle and he's lost the war forever. Did you ever try to take a toy off of a child? Huh? Impossible, right? Well, see, that's my whole point here. It's the same way with a believer. When they get a hold of this truth, you aren't going to get it off of them. So you need to get a hold of this. Let it become real in your life. Stop scratching the surface. And stop kicking the tires on the car. Get in the car. Get in the passenger seat too. Strap on your seatbelt and hold on and let God do the driving. Because the destination he's going to take you on is nothing short of amazing, I'm telling you. Let him do the driving. Romans 8 there, verse 29 through 30. Message Bible, again. You see, I'm staying with this message to try and stay consistent a little bit. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Wow! Is that true or not? He decided from the onset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed up by calling them by name. Called them by name. Lorraine, he said. Lil, Shirley, Jennifer, Jenna. Called them by name. And after he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. A solid basis with himself. You see where you're standing? With him. And then after getting them established, because he's going to establish you, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun in them. He's not putting you on that basis. He's establishing you there. He's there with you. He's not leaving you. He's going to be with you all the way to the end. Yeah, really. God's going to be with you to the end. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's there with you. Believe it, receive it. Because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does not change. If there's something for sure that you can count on, it's this. God is and always will be faithful to complete the work that he began in you. See, he decided, as the word says, from the onset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Then he goes on to say, after God made that decision of what his children should be like, which means he gave it some serious thought after all. Life under the law, and that was the what the children of Israel had asked for. It was impossible and it was a miserable life. A life where you made one mistake, broke one of the laws that God had established, it disqualified you from receiving any blessings at all that God wanted to give to his people. And that is something God never wanted to happen. See, God missed, and he misses today, the intimacy that had been lost with so many others. That's why it's so important for us to make sure that we let others know. Because God missed that. And when he lost that intimacy between him and his people, and so he did one thing. He gave us the one thing that he enjoyed the most. He gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. The intimacy of the relationship that he had with his son. Everything that his son enjoys, he wants you to enjoy. Everything that his son has access to, he wants you to have access to. There is and was nothing that he withheld from us. Nope. He wanted to make it as easy as possible to ensure our success to have the abundant life that he promised that we could have and live in today, not tomorrow, tomorrow. No, today, today, today. Thank you, Lord. Now, Romans there, 31 through 39, Message Bible. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? I got a question for you. How can we lose? We can't. That's right, Brother Dean. We can't lose. Not with God on our side. God doesn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? You are God's chosen. Think about that. Somebody messes with you, they're messing with God. Think about that. I don't know, but I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. In fact, I think a lot of you have probably witnessed those kind of things happen to other people. You didn't pray those things upon them, but man, they come against God's chosen. They may not be having their job very long. And that's nothing to do with you. That's all to do with God and picking on God's kids. Am I right, Elder? Who would dare even to point a finger? My daughter even is a testimony to that. That someone as high up in authority as they can be, and to pick on someone at a lower level, and the one in the lower level survives, and the one in the upper level is no longer there. Okay, the one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us, that being Jesus. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. He won't allow it. Not sin, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not anything past, present, or future. Absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus has embraced us. Embraced. You know what that means? It means to hold someone closely in one's arms, especially as a sign of affection. Don't push him away. Embrace him back. Now, when I thought that, because all I could see, do you ever go and you flip somebody, you go to give them a hug and they're standing there. They're not responding. You're hugging them so tight, nothing can get between you, but you're, embrace him back. He loves it. Because he's holding you tight enough that nothing's going to drive the love that he has away, even if you're not responding. So start responding. We have everything that Jesus has. God's word has determined it to be a fact. It's a promise that we can take straight to the bank and put into that lockbox of our heart that no one, no thing can ever steal away from us. Nope. Especially when you find yourself in a situation, any situation, whether it be financial, emotional, stress-related things, health issues, especially our health issues. And when we need healing in our bodies, we need to remind ourselves over and over and over, like a broken record. And every time I said that, I kept thinking, there's people in there that are going to say, record? What's he talking about? Record? Broken record? Oh, if it's broken, it's broke. No. Okay. For you who aren't seniored as we are, a record, when we called it broken, it would be playing along and it would hit a point and that needle would stay there and it would go, hello, 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 and you'd have to bump it and go to the next thing. Especially if you remember the 45s in the cars, we used to have this big thing that you mounted in between the seat up in the front where the hump was, and it was a record player, a a record player with 45s, and you pushed him in. When you're driving along, you hit a bump, though, and it was definitely going to jump and skip. It was worse than a CD. But yeah. Yeah, I guess that shows the age now. All right. But see, I'm still a kid. I'm still God's kid. So, but we need to remind ourselves continually. Does Jesus have this affliction? No. He doesn't have it. So neither do I. That's when I realized, neither do I. If Jesus doesn't have it, then neither do I. See, we can have the victory because the Word of God declares it. We have everything that Jesus has. We have everything that Jesus has. It's not what the world says we have. And it's not what the doctor says we have. It's not what the genetic gene pool says our family has. It's not what the believers at work or your family say you have. It's not what the devil says you may have. We have what God's Word says we have. And there's no greater authority on that subject. None. So to me, you know what I say? Case closed. Case closed. The verdict has been determined. And where was it determined? On the cross. That's where the verdict was rendered. Case is closed. His perfection covers our imperfections. And He is our qualification to receive all the benefits of the inheritance God has promised to us. 1 John 4:17. New King James. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Are you ready? Because as He is, so are we in this world. Not one day far off in eternity, but right here and right now, today. That's when. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. Start living in your inheritance today. Our loving Abba Father wants you to know all that Jesus has in heaven, you have in this world. Make it all about Him, and you will see all the benefits He has provided for you come to pass. Christy, give it to me. Let's say it together. We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, let's come down and let's honor the Father. We're going to take communion.